Life's good.
Never on.
Whoa.
Hard. Hard reset.
Come on, Brent.
Life's good.
Got real close.
The hair high, right?
Trying to hit two thirds.
Have they saved it for her? Yes, they have.
Welcome to Game of Stones, everybody. I am Sean Graham, Scott alongside, as always. Hello, Scott.
Good evening, Sean. I'm wondering, how many times do you think that you've said, welcome, Scott?
I don't know. Probably a lot.
Probably a lot. Somebody asked me to figure out how many times we've said each other's names in this podcast.
Ooh.
I thought that was a, like, I don't think we say each other's names that much.
A few times a show.
Yeah. Well, Sean, I don't, those answers will wait for another day. Yes. I'm working on it, but excited to be here with you. Nonetheless.
Yeah, that is going to be coming up in a future episode. But for now, we'll get into this curling season. Scott, yes. Usually what we've done the past few years is we've gone through and looked at how different teams have set up their schedules. Usually like a top team, a European team or an Asian team, and then like an up-and-coming younger team in Canada. And how do they set their schedules and what are they trying to accomplish? That's what we've done for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Around this time.
So,
but this is an Olympic year.
Hey.
And it's a little harder, I think, to read too much into what teams are trying to do, given most of them won't be teams in 8 months, right? So the understanding of what teams are trying to accomplish is pretty clear, I think, certainly on the Canadian side. Internationally, I think it's a little different in terms of what they're trying to do. The Canadian teams are all trying to peak for the trials or pre-trials, depending on who they are, and the international teams who are going to go to the Olympics are getting ready, getting set to peak for February, and the international teams that are not going to the Olympics are trying to make money.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's all pretty fair to say and a pretty reasoned look at how most teams will act this year.
Yeah, so we are going to do a schedule watch 2025-2026, but our focus not going to be on individual teams. Instead, Scott, our focus is going to be on the people, on the fans, and what the fans of curling have to look out for in this upcoming season, particularly as it relates to significant events that will have coverage on TV. I know a lot of events are streamed now, but I've picked out kind of the major events that I think we're going to have to really pay attention to. There are other spiels. This is not a comprehensive list. Please don't come at me of, oh, you missed this thing or this thing or this thing. I get it. I just pulled out the major events. So the slams, Olympic things, and world championships, and what we can expect. Because honestly, if you just take those events, we are loaded with curling this year. And if you're up for streaming the Penticton event, good on you. That's a fun event. They do a good job out there. But at some point, you know, maybe you want a break. Like, I also didn't include provincial championships in this, which usually is a double screen scenario for us.
Always.
But I did not include those. So, Scott, I want to go through and talk about the schedule as what we can expect as curling fans.
Okay. Okay, I like this idea, and let's go, because it's all building up, but like, if I know the ones that are most important for me to keep track of and keep tabs on, it'll all be all the better.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to try to do here, and I'm going to go in chronological order.
Okay.
Okay. Should note that a bunch of things have already happened. Nothing I would say super like, I don't want to say important, but I don't think anything that is fundamentally going to change the world of curling.
Okay. So we're starting from today. Today's date is what, the 4th of September?
As we're recording this, yes, it is the 4th of September.
So it will come out at some point.
At some point, a few days down the road.
Hence.
Yeah.
Okay, so nothing sort of before end of September.
Oh, no, there's stuff before the end.
Okay, let's go.
All right. I just want to say, too, we're not dismissing it or anything, but just congratulations. Sam Muybrook won the U25 Next Gen Classic on the men's side. Serena Gray Withers on the women's side. And Serena Gray Withers and her partner, I want to say Alex. And her partner, Victor Petrangelo, won the mixed doubles of that. So congratulations to them over at the Saville Curling Club. Just wanted to acknowledge that because we do like the idea of that event, just don't like the timing of that event.
Yeah, it's a little early.
Yeah.
But $15,000, I think, for each of the winners. So they don't care about the timing.
No. All right, Scott. So first big event on the calendar this year. Our first big event from as we record this on the calendar this year is going to take place on the 23rd of September through the 28th of September. The Masters Grand Slam is going to take place in London, Ontario. There's a part of this, Scott, that I forgot to tell you about. I want you to give me a word describing your level of excitement or lack of excitement for each of these events as it relates to their relative importance to the curling season.
So my first word is woo.
First event,
you know, a chance to see everybody back on the ice, on TV. It's a good field as always in the Grand Slams, but you know, I don't get super excited about the Grand Slam events. I don't know what it is. Just there's a bit of a lack of differentiation. This event is a triple knockout format this year, which usually it for all intents and purposes is anyway, but I think it will be a good start to the season, so I'm like a little excited. But also it's still September, so it might be a nice weekend, and so my word is woo.
Okay, so there you go. So that is the first big event on the calendar. Next up is going to start only a few days later on the 1st of October going through the 5th of October. That is going to be the Points Bet Invitational 2025 edition. This year it is going to take place at the Margaret MacPhail Center at Canada Olympic Park in Calgary.
Of course, the home of curling.
Yes. Also the Windsport Events Center. I don't know why they have two different names on these things.
Well, one is probably a title sponsor and one is
No, that's the name of the place.
Yeah. You know, Canada Olympic Park needs to get them funds.
Yeah. So how excited are you for the points bet?
For the points bet, I think, is a good word. Like it's a fun event in that it's a single knockout, and there's always like one kind of upset in the first round, but really at the end of the week end there's going to be two like pretty good teams left that have probably played each other already five times this year or something. So between all those spiels in September. But so my level of excitement for that is less, I'd say, than the first slam. Because at the first slam, you're getting to see the international teams as well.
Okay. There. All right. So Scott, after that event, we are going to be back into the Grand Slams on October the 14th from the 19th. This is going to be the Tour Challenge in beautiful Nisku, Alberta.
Yes, Nisku, the other home of curling after Calgary. This is one I'm saying, okay, let's go. It's the week of Thanksgiving or after yes. Thanksgiving, I'd say. So I'm starting to feel a little more into it, a little more ready for the season. They've had a couple of events already happened. The air is getting crisp. The leaves are getting bright and falling on the ground. It's feeling more like curling. We'll have had a couple games under our belts by this point. So, yeah, I'm feeling okay. All right, let's go. Yeah.
Okay, so this is where you start to feel it. And I should say the 14th is the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So there you go. It's, you know, you have leftovers still.
Yeah. If you're lucky.
Yeah. And hopefully you are.
Yeah. Hopefully you have a lot to be thankful for on Thanksgiving, including the tour challenge taking place the very next day.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Scott, starts the very next day after the conclusion of the tour challenge. That Monday kicks off the 2025 Canadian Olympic pre-trials. These are going to take place that week from the 20th to the 26th. They will take place in Wolfville, Nova Scotia, and one spot will be up for grabs on the men's and the women's side. How do you feel about the 2025 pre-trials?
The pre-trials have me thinking, all right, yeah. Yeah, let's go. This is curling time. It's going to round out that Olympic field. Historically, the team that has advanced from the pre-trials has been pretty successful.
Yeah, made a few finals.
At the trials, for sure. Yeah, made some finals, had good runs. Mm-hmm. So this is where you start to see, okay, is there going to be a team that can sneak up and nip at the heels of the established teams that have already cemented their place? So I think this is pretty cool. At the same time, Sean, the Pan Continental Championships are happening that same week.
Correct.
So is that also next one on your list?
It is.
Oh, sorry.
All right, so the next one going on at the same time, October 19th through the 26th, the Pan Continental, that's taking place in Eveleth, Minnesota.
Yeah, so my worry with the pre-trials is that the Pan Continental might take a little bit of the oxygen in the week around the curling discourse. The PanCons will be, you know, internationally focused discourse, whereas the Canadian pre-trials will be focused on our national teams. So a little differentiation there. But the PanCon, I'm kind of like, shrug.
Right.
You know, it's going to be the tune-up event where we get to see the teams from Asia before the Olympics and before the last chance Olympic qualifier. So I think there's a little bit more juice from that perspective.
Sure.
But my feeling on the PanCons has been kind of shrug till this point.
Yeah, I agree. I think there might be a little more juice here because the Japanese, Korean teams be going to the Olympics will be there, but you don't know if it's going to be Jacobs and Holman at the Olympics yet.
Yeah.
Right. So it kind of takes a little of the, like, oh, this is a little Olympic warm-up kind of out of it a little bit. Same thing on the American side, that you don't know if those teams are going to be the reps for the Americans at the last chance qualifier, or if the Americans are going to be in the Olympics in the four-person game at all. So there's a lot of uncertainty there, but those games between Korea and Japan will be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, they always are. So, you know, the opportunity to watch, I'll take it. But overall, my feeling about PanCon is kind of eh. And it's going away after this year, right? So,
Allegedly. Nothing confirmed yet.
Oh, sorry. Cut that.
But the rumor mill is churning, Scott.
Well, don't tease the listeners, Sean. We'll we'll get that if we've done our journalistic duties and confirmed anything.
Yeah. All right. So that is the Pan Continental going on simultaneously with the pre-trials. And that leads us into the Lake Tahoe Grand Slam happening from November the 4th through November the 9th. This is the first time that the Grand Slam is going to be traveling outside of the country. They were planning on doing one in Vegas, and then 2020 had something to say about that. Mm-hmm. But this will be the first time. Scott, Tahoe, I've never been to it, but from all accounts, it's a beautiful place. And the NHL played, of course, an outdoor game at Lake Tahoe, which didn't go great because the sun affected the ice because it was so beautiful out, which was great, but then they couldn't play and all this. But anyway, mm-hmm. does having a Grand Slam in a beautiful place really make a difference when you're going to be in an arena the whole time? Maybe it will help, like if people are more willing to go to Tahoe than to maybe Vegas at this point. I don't know. But yeah, we're going to Tahoe. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think people might be more inclined to go to Tahoe than to Vegas. You can fly to Reno. Reno is much cheaper. I mean, Vegas used to be super cheap and Reno was like crazy cheap. Now I think Vegas is kind of more moderately priced and Reno might still be super cheap. So yeah, if they can draw people down, it's a little early in the year for a bunch of Canadians to want to go down. And there's probably some geopolitical reasons why the Canadians might not want to go. You know, everybody can make their own choice. But from that perspective, I worry a bit about the success of the Tahoe Classic. Classic, did I just call it that?
You did.
Tahoe Grand Slam.
Yeah.
It's the national, right?
On their, I don't know if that actually what they're calling it. I'll be honest, when I pulled up and I just Googled the dates for all this, I just went with the AI overview and it just called it the Tahoe event.
Okay. I think it's the national, but in any event, this one, like, yeah, we're getting down to it, right? This is sort of the final scouting opportunity for those Canadian teams, I think. Well, you'll tell me if I'm wrong, but this is kind of the big one before the trials. So this is the one I'm a lot more interested in seeing. I'm going to want to be recording all the games, going to want to be going back through, seeing what teams are doing well, what they're not, that kind of thing. So this is like, I'm really a lot more into this. This word that comes to mind is homework. This is the spiel to do your homework on all the teams.
I will say, I just pulled it up on the Grand Slam of Curling website. They're just calling it the GSOC Tahoe. I guess you can't really call it the national when you're taking it international. You could call it the international.
Yeah, but then what are we going to do with the storied history of the national?
I don't know. Just maybe put it on our shelf next to the Elite 10.
Wow, relegating it to the dustbin of history.
Yeah. All right, so that is going on in Tahoe at the start of November, 2 days after the conclusion of the Grand Slam of Curling Lake Tahoe event is the opening of the 2025 U.S. Olympic Curling Trials. These are going to take place in Sioux Falls this year from November the 11th through the 16th. How do you feel about the U.S. trials this year, Scott?
Yeah, I feel pretty excited about it. I always like watching the U.S. trials just because the games are pretty good. And I don't feel like as many teams can win as are at the Canadian trials, but I guess we'll talk about those events when we get to them, right? Mm-hmm. And there's probably three or four teams that have a chance to win with the one team really being head and shoulders kind of above the rest. But yeah, I think it's a pretty interesting event and it will, I think, determine who goes to that last chance qualifier for the US. So
yeah, it will.
so yeah, it'll be super interesting from that respect. So I think I can't say, huh? I already said, huh? But I think, interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there's more interest on the men's side because Tabitha Peterson has really just gone on such a run the past two seasons that I think she's head and shoulders the favorite on the women's side. And it'd be kind of surprising if she doesn't win, again, just because she's been on such a run here the past two seasons. On the men's side, you do have certainly John Schuster and Corey Dropkin, but also don't count out Team Casper. They've had good runs the past couple American championships, the national championship. So I think you got those two teams who you'd say are maybe on a collision course, or you would expect them to. Then you got Team Casper that can kind of throw a wrench into that. And no matter what John Schuster has done the past two seasons, and I don't think has been as good as Corey Dropkin the past couple of years, it's an Olympic year. And John Schuster, very much like Chelsea Carey back in the day, where raised the level at the Scotties for Chelsea Carey and that was her best event all the time. John Schuster in an Olympic year, that's when he's at his best.
Yeah, it is for sure. So, really interesting event. I'm excited for it.
All right. After the U.S. trials, there's two events going on simultaneously, and I will go with the one that ends first because they start on the same day on November the 22nd. And one of these is taking place in Loha, Finland. That is the 2025 European Curling Championship. Scott, how do you feel about the 2025 Euros?
I feel really good about it. This is always great curling. I really like the production. It's a pleasure to watch. And I'll be doing so again. This is, like we talked about, the Tahoe being the last tune-up for the Canadian teams before their trials. Most of the European teams have already qualified, if not all of them. So this is the chance to see those previews of Olympic matchups.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be really interesting in the sense of, I mean, all the other teams who are going to the Olympics have played each other a bunch. And we'll do some analysis at some point through the fall. Like, how much do they portend to what's going to happen at the Olympics, if at all? And we'll go back and we'll look at what happened in 2022 and 2018 and 2014 and see if there's any correlation between these fall events and the Olympic results. But even if there is no correlation, it's still fun in the moment to look and see what's going on. The downer, of course, is for us in Canada, at least. This is going on at the same time as the Canadian Olympic Curling Trials, which kick off on November the 22nd. They're going through November 30th. They're taking place in Halifax. So from a Canadian perspective, I think that'll take up pretty much all the oxygen in the room. And we'll kind of have half an eye on the European championships. But Scott, how do you feel about the trials, the Canadian trials this year?
I feel super stoked about the Canadian trials. The trials are so fun. All the teams there are excellent. It's really anyone can beat anyone. What it comes down to, like, I feel a little bit bad because it really is like every game is super important. It's kind of like college football in the way that, you know, if you lose one, you're in trouble, which it is hard to do for this kind of an event. And especially now that the first place team gets the bye into that best of three final, that's like a huge advantage. You know, we saw Tracy Fleury's team last time run the round robin and then just had a bad game against Jennifer Jones. Could have won if it was a 2 out of 3. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're allowed one bad game in this format that's taking over this cycle. So super stoked. I love the trials. This is going to be peak curling week.
My fear with the trials, as always, is that the play gets really conservative, that people are just plain scared and you don't have Jennifer Jones to play that. What'd she play? Didn't she play like a 9-8 crazy game during the round robin against Carrie Anderson back in 2021, or she had some like real bonkos game where there was a huge comeback and just things were going crazy. Like, you don't have her there. And of the teams who have already qualified, I'm not sure who's the one who's really going to mix it up and go for it. Maybe John Epping a little bit on the men's side, but that's kind of my fear, is that we get a lot of, you know, 2-1 things and people are doing gunner math of, you know, 1-1, 1-1, 1-1 or blank, 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 1 sort of thing. And trying to win games 1-0 or 2-1. So that's my fear with it, but it is always a lot of fun. The environment, the players are really into it. The fans are into it. Halifax is a great host city. So should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I was just looking here, Sean, to try and check your Jennifer Jones fact, and I haven't found it yet. But did you know Rachel Holman's team went 2-6 and finished last at the trials last time?
Wow, that is not good.
That is not what we remember. But and yes, Jennifer Jones lost 10-9 to Carrie Anderson.
Yeah, what's the line score in that game? You don't have to go like end by end, but is there a big comeback or?
Yes, Anderson was up 6-0. Then Jones gets a 3, gives back another 2, so it's 8-3.
Yeah,
gets a 2, blank. So Anderson blanks, steals 3, steals 1 to be up 1 coming home, and Anderson gets her deuce.
Down 6-0, up 1 coming home. You gotta love it.
You gotta love sports.
Yeah. All right. So that is the Canadian Olympic curling trials. After that, less than a week later, kicking off on the 5th of December, it is the Last Chance Olympic qualifier. This is going to take place in Kelowna, British Columbia. Men's, women's, and mixed doubles will all take place here over the course of 2 weeks, or just under 2 weeks, here in Kelowna. Scott, how do you feel with the Last Chance qualifier?
I feel pretty, like, this one, yeah, is super interesting because those Olympic berths on the line can mean so much to a nation. Like, we saw the devastation in Team Czechia's eyes and the joy in Team Denmark's eyes last time.
Yeah.
And with that kind of drama taking place, that's sort of like what sports is all about, right? So the word I'll use for this is drama, big drama.
Yeah, and a lot of tension there too. And the thing is, you think like, okay, last chance qualifier, like, all right, who cares who the last two teams in the field are? Are they really going to be competitive? There are Olympic medal possibilities coming out of this last chance qualifier, yeah. Right? You do have somebody potentially, if John Schuster wins the American trials, like, you have a former gold medalist,
yeah.
who could be in this event coming through. And again, Tabitha Peterson has had a couple of really good years. But if you just look across the field, there are some folks who could come up and have a good week and go all Madalena DuPont at the Euros a couple of years ago and come away with a medal. So
sure.
I wouldn't dismiss this as a, who cares, sort of last chance qualifier sort of thing. Like, there's, apart from what it'll mean to the players to actually qualify and get in, there, you do have a few teams here who I think could be medal threats.
I agree.
All right. Simultaneous to that, for at least for part of that, from the 16th to the 21st of December, it is the Canadian Open Grand Slam taking place in beautiful Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Scott, are you excited for the 2025 Canadian Open?
Saskatchewan in December, Sean.
Ain't nothing like it. Ain't Saskatoon nothing, at Christmas.
Ain't nothing like it. Yeah, I think this is late, right?
It does seem a little later than normal, yeah.
But I mean, they've got the trials. Everybody's sort of getting some time off after the trials.
Yeah.
And then
it could be the last chance, too. There could be a couple teams who are in the last chance who would qualify as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So this one, I think, you know, I'm probably getting a little tired. A lot of curling so far in the fall. This is one I might say, like, wake me if something happens, you know. I'll record it and watch it in those fallow days after Christmas when there's no sports on TV.
Yeah, I agree. I think this one is the least exciting of all the events on the list.
Yeah, I think we've been like steadily rising to a peak, and then
This one's sort of like, all right, that's nice. And,
I just did a bad hand gesture, but
like, yeah, it's an audio form, Scott.
Okay, sorry. Nobody can I never see. Know what you're going to clip on me.
But no, the thing with this one is, yeah, like all the Canadian teams who didn't qualify for the Olympics are. I mean, this honestly, this is probably where new teams are being made.
Yeah.
Like, this is a big team convention, like going around and figuring out who's going to play with who next year.
Yeah. What do they call, the patch here? They used to call it the Pinty's Pub or.
Yeah. Whatever that.
Whatever they're doing that, that's a place you want to be. Post up.
Yeah.
And watch.
Yeah. Go to the Grand Slam of karaoke and don't watch the karaoke. Watch where all the players who's talking to who.
Yeah.
On that one.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that one's, yeah, I think is not the most exciting on the list. Then we have the holiday break. And then coming out of that, starting on the 6th of January through the 11th, it is the Players' Championship in Steinbeck, Manitoba. The event that they always say is like the most prestigious one to win. Finally, I think has a much better place on the calendar. I always felt it strangely paced after the World Championship. So I like that they've moved it to January here. This will be the last time that the Olympic teams will be on the ice in a competitive environment prior to the 2026 Olympics. Does that pique your interest?
I'd say definitely more than the previous. But again, this is like 2 weeks after the other one finishes.
Yeah.
Get your little 2 week break and then right back and at them. So yeah.
It's like you're in school again. 2 weeks off and get at it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It seems tough, but this one, yeah, like you said, this is the last tune-up, right? This is where iron sharpens iron in advance of the event of the year.
Yeah. Do you think any of the results on that matter? Do you think like the results matter? So let's say it's, you know, the Bruce Mowat, Nicholas Adin game. Do you think it matters at all? Like if you win that last game against another team that's going to the Olympics before the actual event?
To be honest, they play each other so much. I don't think it matters. I think what matters is process over outcome. So that's what all the teams are going to be trying to do, right? Is to just replicate their process. Then they've all got tons of reps doing it. Just want to be aware of if they make mistakes, don't make them mental mistakes, make them be physical mistakes that are correctable, note them and move on. So as long as your process is good coming out of that, I think everybody will feel in a good spot.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I don't think we should read too much into the results through the fall for anything other than like trials, last chance qualifiers.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Then the final event. Or major event that is on our list here before the Olympic Games is the 2026 Scotties Tournament of Hearts, kicking off on January the 23rd, running through February the 1st, taking place in Mississauga, Ontario. Scott, I never thought I would see the day where Curling Canada put a national championship in the GTA again.
Yeah, we did our trivia game, both of us I think were a little surprised that it had even been there once.
Yeah.
So
but we saw this with Montreal in 2014.
Yeah, an Olympic year again.
Yeah.
So the event was shifted a little earlier in the year. To be honest, in Montreal I don't think the crowds were very good.
They were not. Haven't been back.
They haven't been back. It was a fun, like it was a good space, I think, for the spectators.
Yes. Yeah, you had height.
Yeah, so you were like, the benches were kind of high, like up where the glass usually is.
Yeah, so for anyone who has seen or watched or is a fan of short track speed skating, it is the National Short Track Training Center. I can't remember the name of the arena, but it's on the old the expo grounds near the Olympic Stadium. And so the seats there are raised, 10 feet, I would say, is the lowest seat that you have. out there. So you had everywhere was a pretty good vantage point of the ice, and in that environment too, where there weren't that many people there, you could really sit wherever you wanted. So I kind of like the spot, but yeah, Curling Canada just doesn't really go to major cities, with the exception of Calgary, Edmonton, and even Edmonton. They haven't been to Edmonton in a long time. But you know, those curling hotbed major cities, yes. But
yeah,
I mean, Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver are sort of no-goes.
Yeah, definitely. They sort of get lost in the city, the pulse of the city. It's the Maurice Richard Arena, Sean.
Yes. Yeah.
And yeah, like it's a good venue. But anyway, I'll digress on that. I think the Scotties always are favorite. If there's no Rachel Holman there this year to defend their two championships, does that in your mind take away from the event, or does that make the event a little more wide open, a little more interesting?
Yeah, it makes it wide open for sure, and makes it potentially more interesting. If you take away, say, Carrie Anderson, mm-hmm. and Rachel Holman's there, then I think it makes it way less interesting.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Right? So it really depends on who wins those trials as to how interesting this one is going to be.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So that is the Scotties. Then we get into the Olympic Games, starting on February the 4th. Now, this is a few days before the opening ceremony, and that's when the mixed doubles is going to kick off on February the 4th. The medal games, the gold medal game, will be on February the 10th. Scott, how excited are you for the mixed doubles competition?
Mixed doubles at the Olympics is sort of my favorite mixed doubles. Watching teams that don't have flags on their backs play mixed doubles is inherently not as interesting, I think.
Yeah.
But pretty excited for it. I'm just looking here at flights to Milan.
Okay. Milan, Cortina d'Ampezzo.
Yes. So, Sean, we could go from Ottawa, arrive on the 3rd.
Yeah.
Go home on the Sunday.
Sure.
$1,000
round trip.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Not too shabby. I think that's base fare though.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so there you go. That's the mixed doubles. The next day after the gold medal match for the mixed doubles on the 11th of February, the men's and women's competition is going to kick off. The men's gold medal game will be on the 21st of February. Women's gold medal, the last day of the Olympics before the closing ceremonies, will be on February the 22nd. This is what the sport is all built around, these 11 days or 12 days, whatever it is. I wish they did it faster. I really don't like the way they schedule it, but you know, the IOC's got an IOC all over everything sometimes. And we have a really stretched out program for the curling, but you know, this is the pinnacle of the sport at this point.
Yeah. And I wonder if that helps or hurts, like who that helps and who that hurts.
Helps John Schuster, went for that walk.
Went for that long walk.
In Jonathan's episode.
Yeah, he had a day off, was able to go for a walk. But I wonder, like if a team gets really hot and they're on a roll, does extra rest because you're playing one game a day or maybe two games a day, how does that impact you? I don't know. Compared to playing, you know, at least twice a day for most of your schedule, mm-hmm. For the whole year, who knows?
Yeah.
But you're right, it is long. The women's tournament ending after the men's tournament happened at the last Olympics too, and I think that was the first time.
Okay.
But I will go back and verify. So I like it. I remember in Vancouver, the men's was definitely after the women's, but overall pretty fun. I am very excited for it, right? I'm looking at flights to Milan. I would love to go in person
right.
to watch curling at the Olympics. You get a a cross section of people that you don't always get at events in Canada. Some people that have no idea what's going on. They said, oh, I'm just going to the Olympics. Sure. Some people who, you know, are experts or at least very, very big fans. So it's sort of the way to spread curling to more people. And always fun to be a part of that.
All right. The next event on the schedule kicks off on February the 27th. And that is the, so I almost said Tim Hortons, the Montana's Brier in St. John's, Newfoundland and Labrador. That is going to go until March the 8th. Always a good time when the event is there in St. John's. And we know from past, we do have the past precedent, even if Brad Gushue wins the Olympic curling trials, goes to the Olympic Games, he will participate in the Brier. I think more of a certainty because it's in St. John's and Brad Gushue understands sort of what the assignment is on that one. So Scott, the Brier, I genuinely do not remember 2022, how juiced up I was for it, how excited I was for it. I remember being very surprised that Brad Gushue played. Mm-hmm. And then I believe that was the three-person victory, Mark Nichols with COVID and yeah, not playing. But going into the, I know I was out of the country too for a chunk of it, but maybe that would influence how juiced up I was for it. But after the Olympics, and you get 4 days off, right back into the Brier, that's a kind of jarring.
Yeah, that is kind of jarring. And it is like a quick turnaround. And the Brier is always super, super fun. But at this point, I could forgive some people for being a little burned out on curling.
Sure.
Post-Brier. Don't say that to Brad Gushue. But I can understand other people's burnout with curling by this point.
I should say, too, while the Brier is going on, about halfway through, the Paralympic curling gets started March the 4th. Through the 14th, that is going to be the Paralympic curling event. You can watch it in Canada. CBC does a pretty good job in terms of having everything accessible live through stream. They don't do the wall-to-wall coverage as much between TSN, Sportsnet, and CBC for the Paralympic Games, but the events will be accessible to all Canadians on the CBC through the various platforms. So that should be a really fun event. Of course, China, the favorite there. We talked last week or a couple weeks ago about the uncertainty potentially around the Canadian team. What is Curling Canada going to do? How are they going to make these selections? Mm-hmm. But should be a very competitive event there at the Paralympics.
Yeah, always a fun event to watch if you're not burned out on curling.
Yeah. All right, now, the same day that they are going to be awarding the gold medal at the Paralympics, the Women's World Curling Championship is going to kick off on the 14th of March, going through the 22nd of March. That is going to take place in Calgary this year, Scott. World Championships in Olympic years historically have led to interesting fields. Mm-hmm. First exposure for a lot of teams at the world level makes it very interesting. And I don't want to say it diminishes a world championship because I don't think, you know, if you're the world champion, you're the world champion. And all of them are equal, right? You got that trophy, yep, you get the medal, you're the world champion. But it does, to me, make the event it makes it more difficult to kind of assess it in its proper context. Like, if there are teams from the Olympics there, like, how has their preparation been since the Olympics? If there are other teams there, how do we try to assess it when, okay, maybe they didn't win their country's national championship, if that's a determining factor for who usually goes? Like, there's just so many things at play that it makes it more difficult, but also potentially more interesting to try to put this into context.
Yeah, and you've mentioned like this being the sort of time to bring new teams along. I feel like Anna Hasselberg got her first entry at a world championship in an Olympic year when the great Swedish skip Annette Nordberg,
yeah,
was not playing. Eve Muirhead in 2010, coming off the Olympics, I think she was 20 or something like that, went into that world championship afterwards and finished second. That was the year that Andrea Schupp won, sort of shocking a lot of the curling world, I'd say. But she had a young team coming up to support her. So yeah, you can get some interesting results at Olympic year world championships. And that's what I'd be hoping for. I'd be rooting for storylines at this Olympics and or at this world championship. And this one, of course, doesn't count towards Olympic qualification. So that's why there's a little less pressure on the teams and maybe you get a bit of a looser game.
Yeah. So yeah, probably I would say a different rep for Sweden, potentially, just that we have another team on tour that is pretty good. I would say Scotland as well. Maybe look for different reps there. I wouldn't expect it out of Korea, Japan, China, just given the way those systems tend to be. When you're the national champion, you're the national champion. Mm-hmm. You go to everything. And obviously in the Canadian context, whoever wins those events goes, American context usually too. So it'll be interesting just to see mostly what the European teams or the European countries choose to do. Same, of course, we'll go for the Men's World Curling Championship, which will kick off on March the 28th, run through April the 5th, which is going to take place in Ogden City, Utah.
Ooh. Utah, that'll be played where the Olympics were held in 2002, I believe.
I believe we came to that conclusion when we talked about that announcement. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, this, you know, if I said, a little burnt out on curling for the Brier, by this point, yeah, I'm thinking about softball, Sean, you know, obviously still following it, but this tends to be the time of year when, you know, I try to get away, maybe take a little vacation. It gets a bit harder to follow. So, we're running out of steam.
Yeah. And then we get a full 20 days off until the Mixed Doubles World Championship. They're going to take place in Geneva this year. Oh. And this one's got... really could have moved that one up or like,
yeah,
I don't know why it has to be that late this year.
Yeah, I don't know either. So Geneva's pretty nice city though, so
yeah. So good for the teams that get to go.
Yeah. Yeah, go enjoy the lake, etc.
Yeah. And the only thing I couldn't find here, Scott, as I was looking through it, I couldn't find the dates or location for the Wheelchair World Championship coming up this year. That's the only one I couldn't find, but that would be the only other, I would say, major event on the list that we haven't talked about. You could also talk me into potentially the World Junior Championships, and those are always kind of a fun event to see the next generation of curlers. Do tend to get washed out a bit in an Olympic year. Well, really most years now, given the change of the dates, at least for the Canadian Junior Championships, but the Worlds as well. So I think that kind of represents all the major events going on this year. But as you could tell, because of the Olympic Games and the trials here in the United States, the last chance qualifiers as well, it really adds to the schedule. And you know that Vic is in his chamber right now, just building up the energy, just getting ready.
Oh, yeah. Taking all the fluids and vitamins that you need to persevere over the long, long curling season.
Yeah. This is why we lift all those weights.
You know it, Sean. That's you and me. This is why we drink tea.
I don't, but I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? You get the pipes ready, do those vocal exercises, the warm-ups we always do before we come on air. Maybe we can make that part of our patron tier. You get access to the vocal warm-ups, but maybe for $50 a month, something like that. But we're... you know, ready for a big, big curling season. It's going to be a lot of fun. to see the outcomes. It's going to be a lot of fun to see the aftermath and how soon those, you know, teams start disbanding, reuniting, reforming, all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be a fun year. And I just hope I'm ready for it all.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And then the spring will bring a lot. And I kind of hope the teams wait to break up.
I guess so.
That they give it until at least after the World Championship. I don't think they will, but it'd be nice if they did.
Sean, I think someone should, and probably not me, do a supercut video to the Selena Gomez, Benny Bianco song, Call Me When You Break Up.
Okay.
With montages of like the different curlers on there saying, so it's Call Me When You Break Up.
Okay.
So that, you know, come be on my team.
Right.
Anyway, I think that would be good. I'm not going to do it because I don't know how, but somebody out there probably could. And I'd be into seeing it.
All right. Well, there you go. Open invite from Scott to do a little homework.
Yeah. Yeah. Do something that will boost our podcast.
There you go. All right. So that is the schedule for 2025-2026. And there are other events along the way.
So many.
That will be potentially worth paying attention to. So a lot is going on. And we will talk about all of these ones and maybe some others as well. So if you want to hear all that, please do subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Like, rate, comment, all that good stuff. Helps other people find the show, keeps us growing. You can find us on the socials at Game of Stones Pod, except for Facebook, where it's Game of Stones Podcast. Hit us up, gameofstonespod.com. All past episodes, plus a link to the merch. And if you want to let us know what you want to hear in the show, gameofstonespodcast@gmail.com. Scott, Labor Day is coming gone. The fall is here almost. What's going on? What's good at this time of year?
Oh, Sean, so much is good. Just quickly, in 2022, there was also not a World Wheelchair Curling Championship. So I think the Paralympics takes the place of the World Wheelchair Championship in Olympic years.
All right. Interesting.
You know, I gotta keep the people informed.
Yes, thank you.
So what is good, Sean? It is, you know, crisp nights. It is leaves turning. Love that, leaves turning. I like the smell of the night when it's cold. I like cozying up in my house instead of going outside and being sweaty and then coming in and having to, you know, regulate my body temperature before doing anything. So super excited. Sean, football starts today.
Tonight. As we're recording this, it's going on right now.
I did my fantasy football draft last night. I have one regret. Okay. But my team overall, I think, is going to be quite good. And I'm pretty good at waiver wiring. So I picked Jaden Daniels. And I didn't notice that Lamar Jackson was still on the board.
Yeah, that's a bad job by you.
So, but hey, man, Jaden's going to have a great year. No sophomore slump for that guy. So that's what I'm excited for and looking forward to for the fall, Sean. How about you?
I think this year here, 2025, baseball pennant races.
Oh, Sean, right. I'm so excited about football. I forgot about pennant races because the Blue Jays aren't on today, but yeah, it's great.
Yeah. I said, I was talking to someone at work today and just about how great this time of year is. And like last night, as we record this, it was spectacular in Ottawa. Like it was an absolutely beautiful night. And I went out to barbecue and I was like, oh man, I kind of want to sit outside because it's such a nice night. But also the Blue Jays are in a pennant race and having this ridiculous comeback against the Cincinnati Reds. Both of these things are incredibly rare. Which one do I take advantage of? Like the beautiful sit out night or the Blue Jays in a pennant race doing something kind of fun here?
Yeah.
It's a good dilemma to have on a Wednesday night.
It is, Sean. And you and I talk quite a bit about you know, baseball being kind of the clock by which you can set your summer. It's there for you regularly. My mother-in-law doesn't really understand this, but when I get like kind of sad when the season's over, yeah. She's like, why? Well, you know, it's part of your routine. And if something gets, you know, yanked from your routine, you're feeling like probably not good, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I love baseball. I especially love the Blue Jays. The pennant race happening, outstanding.
Yeah.
I've got the games all recording, so even if I'm busy for a bit, I can catch up. I usually catch up by, you know, the fifth or sixth inning. And yeah, love it.
Yeah, it's a wonderful time of year, but we will, as always, make time for a little bit of curling, and we'll talk about it when we join you again next week. But until then, thanks so much for listening, and as always, keep those brooms on the ice and don't dump that intern.
Make the final.